If I was to speak to you tonight just about me, you know, that it would be a poor meeting, as I would have nothing to say. I could maybe tell you some stories that might entertain you, but there'd be no point in that. You know, one of my friends reminded me a while back that being a Christian is not about all the small things we do for God, but it's about the one mighty thing that God has done for us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So in the same way, the woman at the well, when she met Jesus, went to the people and testified, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Then I want to testify to you how Jesus saved me and has kept me all these years." For those that don't know me, my name is Drew Kirkpatrick. I'm usually known as Sharon's husband. Now everybody knows Sharon. And that's fine by me. I'm 52 years old, married to Sharon, and I have two perfect children. And I've been coming to this church since about 1983, some 35 years ago. So it makes me one of the old folk in this place. For the first 28 years of my life, I grew up in the Monkstown Estate. One of my earliest memories is walking with my dad. We lived halfway down the estate, and we would walk out of the estate down to the boys' houses, you know, in Jordanstown. That's where the pastor lives now, by the way. But we used to love walking down Jordanstown, down on the Lough Shore. And as I was young, my dad would have taken my hand and he would have walked, and I loved that. And I felt safe because I had his hand. I felt protected and secure as he guided me along the road. I can now say that my hand is in the hand of my Saviour, and he promises to guide me and protect me through this life. He has given me this promise, which is found in Isaiah chapter 41, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You know, growing up, I didn't think much about the things of God, but I do remember going to five-day clubs out on down Patrick Green and summer schemes run by Sism. And when I got saved, all those Bible stories just came flooding back. I mean, I never thought of them for 15, 20 years, you know. And when I got saved, when I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart, all those stories that I had learnt way back then came flooding back. I do remember a wee Christian lady that lived out the back of us called Mrs. Bell. I believe she prayed for us, and especially my dad, who was ill with cancer. I believe those prayers were answered as my dad came through a number of times when the cancer returned. The Lord did answer prayer. They prayed at that wee church, the wee Baptist church in Monkstown. They prayed. The Lord heard, and the Lord healed my dad. I praise the Lord for those answered prayers. Mrs. Bell and the wee Baptist church also showed practical Christian love. They bought my dad a chair, and that stood out to me, and I still remember that, at the bottom of a chair, because he needed a chair to sit up and to get up and down. You know, when I was 17, I was invited down by my friend's brother to the youth club here at Abbots Cross. The junior club was run by Tommy McLarnon, and the senior club by Tom Alderdice. Two hard men. I still have the bruises to prove it. They, along with other leaders and friends that I had made, had a huge impression on me. There was something different about these guys. They weren't just good living or religious. They had something deeper, a relationship with God that seemed to go through everything they did. God showed me through their witness and through listening to the epilogues that there was a difference, and that this was something I didn't have. I became more aware of my sin and the fact that no amount of good living or hanging around with other Christians or going to church would put that right. I also feared that not doing anything about my sin was dangerous. If I were to die in my sin, then I knew that I was lost and I would spend eternity separated from him in hell. So I did feel guilty, and I did feel afraid. But there was a much bigger fear in my head, and that was the fear of man. What would people say if Drew Kirkpatrick was to get saved? What would my family say? What would my workmates think of me? What would I have to give up? There was a real battle going on. It was the fear of man versus the fear of God. And I'm sorry to say that the fear of man won for a considerable period of time. I thank God that my Christian friends didn't give up on me in this time. And I'm sure they continued to pray. And they never stopped inviting me to the church and the special events. I was invited once to a special mission somewhere down in Lurgan. A big man called Ivan Thompson, I'm sure there's a lot of people that remember Ivan Thompson, was taking the meetings. He was a powerful speaker. He put the fear of God in you. So he did. He didn't miss and hit the wall with his preaching. Right? And at times at that meeting, I felt that he was speaking directly to me. I even went to the door after the meeting. You just couldn't avoid him. He stopped me at the door. I couldn't get away from him, and he asked me if I was a Christian. I said no. He asked if I wanted to be a Christian. And I said yes. But? And he said, yeah. There's always a but, isn't there? And he just let me go. And I was deeply convicted, and I was deeply troubled by this. Shortly after this, I asked Sharon if we could read together. So when we met up, we finished each night reading the chapter of Matthew's Gospel. When we got to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, we read, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The Lord was speaking directly to me. He was saying, "Your fears are misplaced. Don't be afraid of the people in this world. Rather, be afraid of me in the next." I believe this was my last opportunity to come to him and get right with him. I asked Sharon to pray with me as I asked the Lord Jesus to come into my heart, to forgive my sins and to save me, and he did. There was no flashing lights or even a great change, but looking back now, I know that all that guilt and fear, he took it away. I love the song "In Christ Alone." There's many a good line in it, but I wanted just to read a couple of verses. "In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand." The Lord's really good, and he took away all that guilt and fear. And I had never thought about that before. You never thought about it. I was afraid of dying, you know. But he took all that fear away. So a few years passed, and I married Sharon. And yes, she did walk down the aisle. And yes, she did look into my eyes and sing, "He is not a disappointment." But despite the rumours, she wasn't singing about me. You know, these are a couple of other verses that mean so much. "He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than in all my glowing daydreams I had fancied he could be. And the more I get to know him, so the more I find him true. And the more I long that others should be led to know him too. He is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Saviour, sanctifier, keeper, the unchanging Christ is he. He has won my heart's affections, and he meets my every need. He is not a disappointment, for he satisfies indeed. Back then we were singing about the Lord, and that was 25 years ago. And we're married 25 years this year. And I can testify that he is not a disappointment, and he means more to me now than he did back then. The Christian life isn't an easy one, and you don't become perfect overnight. It's a journey. You know, I feel God daily in my actions and my attitudes, and I thought about telling stories of how I have failed God, and my family who are here tonight can testify to those things. Andrew said this morning about being called an idiot. I get called an idiot day and daily, you know. But the most important thing for me is when I fail God, is I can confess these things to him. I have a God who forgives me when I ask him. I won't take time to read Psalm 103, but I would encourage you all to go home and read it. It's a famous psalm, but it shows the mercy and the grace of God. As most of you know, just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean you will not experience any trouble or heartache. In a relatively short period of time, I lost my best friend, Ricky, and both my mum and dad. Don't want to talk about mum and dad tonight. Just to say that I love them and they love me. But Ricky and his wife, Lynn, are some of the people that I mentioned earlier that invested their time and friendship into me. We became really close, and he was a spiritual giant to me. At the age of 40, he gave up his job and was led into Bible college as he wanted to serve the Lord full time. 1 year later, at the age of 41, he suffered a heart attack and died. I was with him the day before he died. He was helping me move house. We had a coffee and he shared that the previous year at Bible college had been the best year of his life. Now, why did this happen? Why was he taken? When it seemed he had so much to offer. And I can't give an answer to that. But I am convinced that the best year of Ricky's life pales into insignificance compared to eternity in heaven with the Saviour. And although we grieve for our loved ones and miss them, if they're saved, they're in a much better place. And we will see them again. And I know Ricky wouldn't want to come back here. I can testify to God's comfort in times of trouble. And I would hate to go through these times alone. Ricky gave me a Bible. And on the inside cover, he wrote these verses in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea. It goes on to say, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I'll finish by talking about my kids, because that's part of my testimony. They're sweet children. Perfect in every way. Only bringing peace and joy into my life. As parents, we fear for our children. But I thank God for his promises. Psalm 46 also says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Isaiah 54 says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. I thank God for how he has blessed my children, and I know this has got nothing to do with me, and left to me what a sorry state they would be in. I praise the Lord for the way my children are going on with him. I know that this is the Lord's hand, and they are at an age now to make their own decisions, and they, like me, have to build their relationship with God. I wrote this down a while ago, but it popped into my mind the other night. Because there's maybe people here, and you're not saved, and there's maybe people here that are maybe backslidden, you know, and you want to get back, or you want to get saved, or you want to get what I have, right? But I don't want you to get what I have, right? Because that's just a poor reflection of what the Lord has for you. I want you to have all that the Lord has for you. He has a plan for each one of us, and I would encourage you to seek out what that is. It's like old car sticker that says, don't follow me, follow Jesus. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. In closing, as I read this back, I realise that I mention fear quite a lot. And this makes me feel that there may be somebody here who is fearful. And if that's the case, I would say, trust God, because faith casts out all fear. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Thanks for listening.